I'm John Tripp, and I'm here with Mr. Jeremy Fish. How's it going, Jeremy Fish?
Fine, John. How are you?
How come yours?
Is mine on? Can you hear?
I can hear it.
Just jealous because yours is louder.
Well, John, what would you like to speak about today?
That's a good question. These people shut the hell up. Why don't you tell these people on the radio here who you are and where you came from?
Fair enough. My name is Jeremy, and I live in Outer Sunset in San Francisco, and I moved here 13 years ago to go to art school, and somehow I'm still here.
What art school did you go to?
I went to the San Francisco Art Institute, which was actually an excuse to move here. It was really skateboarding, but student loans and all that. So wound up going to the Art Institute and got out of school, and got lucky, got a job, became a taxpayer, make some art, stay here.
Excellent. Can you tell us a little bit about your school experience at the Art Institute?
The Art Institute was a mixed bag. Great location, some good professors, good students. However, they just, at the time, were going through a bunch of changes. And I graduated in 98, so if anybody knows anything about what was going on with the Art Institute at that time, it was a bit of a... Thanks for that. I didn't want to go there, but it was definitely a weird time in the history of the school, and they were having a huge turnover of professors, and it was, you know, I got a lot out of it. I met a lot of good people. It was a good reason to move here, but maybe not the best time in the school's history to be there.
In what regard? Like, what? How was it better before?
There was a real political push and pull, and some money got misdirected and spent inappropriately, and the authorities were involved, and... Yeah, definitely a dark spot in the history of the Art Institute. So I won't lift up that bedsheet. But they've had some tough times over there.
Did a lot of professors leave?
They did. When I left, my friend Albert Reyes was going after I left and was telling me basically that there was a huge turnover at that time because people were fed up.
Okay, so you got a bunch of shows coming up in Philadelphia and Texas. Can you tell us about those?
Yes. I have a show December 1st at a place called Lineage in Philadelphia, and that's kind of nice. It's a bunch of guys that used to have a small gallery in Burlington, Vermont, and tried to expand their deal and moved it to Philadelphia. And some other local folks that have shown there. Mario Martinez had a show there a couple months ago. Sam Flores had a show there. For some reason, the guy that owns the gallery has a real interest in this kind of stuff in San Francisco and supports a whole bunch of us, so... It's a good opportunity because my family's back east. My dad lives in Pittsburgh and my mom lives in New York, so they never get to go anything. So I'm looking forward to that. And that's on the 1st. And on the 7th, I have a show in Dallas, Texas with Art Prostitute Gentlemen. And that's like a little quarterly magazine that they make out of Dallas, and they have a small gallery that they do as well. And that should be good. That's with Michael Sieben and Mel Cadell and Travis Miller. And what else are we doing while we're there? We're actually doing a weird radio broadcast, so this is kind of like a warm-up. I'm getting ready.
We're getting ready. Like college radio or something?
Yeah, it's the college station in Dallas. Some part of the art department from the school wants to do like a question and answer with us.
Awesome.
And they're paying for the plane ticket, so we'll allow them to do that.
Wait, aren't you... Then you're going to Europe too, right?
No. I just got back.
Oh, that's right.
I was in Germany for 2 weeks in October. First 2 weeks of October.
You're a busy guy.
Yes. I figure it's one of those times in my life where I'm getting a lot of opportunities, and I worked a long time for them, so it's like if I don't take advantage of them now, I'll sit someday as an old man and regret that I was lazy or slept.
Oh, excellent. Let's see, what can we talk about? You're on the cover of Juxtapose. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
The new issue is coming out. How'd that come about?
I don't know exactly. This was like a long time coming. That was like kind of my Bible when I was in college. And it was an awfully long time before the folks at Juxtapose ever covered anything that happened in the city they made their magazine. Like, when I was reading it in college, other than maybe Baron McGee or, you know, there's those Grains living here back then, and there's a handful of people that would make it in there. But mostly the magazine talked about everywhere else other than the city it was made in. And it's kind of nice that within the last 5 years they've changed their focus to do a little bit more on artists coming out of San Francisco, and they've had kind of an upheaval this year as well. There's a big changeover of folks at Juxtapose, and the staff just rotated, and they're kind of changing the direction of the magazine from like hot roddy stuff to just kind of broadening the spectrum at Juxtapose. So for me, it was a real big honor because I read that all through college and have admired a lot of people that have been featured in there before, and it was a nice opportunity.
Speaking of the San Francisco artist scene, what do you like these days? What things make you all excited?
Let's see what's good. Matt O'Brien's got a show at Adobe Books right now that's top notch. He's one of my favorites and an old roommate of mine. Tiffany Bozick is really awesome. She just had a show in LA that really tore my doors off. That was insane. And I don't know, I haven't been going out as much. Like you were just asking me where I've been. The last few months have been so hectic that when I do go to art shows, it's like you're there for 20 seconds because you went to see the person who had stuff in it and you said hello and got on with it. I don't know, I haven't been to anything. O'Brien's show is the one thing I went to most recently that I really liked. But beyond that, good group show at White Walls right now. All-Star Hustlers, like a bunch of random people from all over the place. I like White Walls. They're doing a lot of good stuff. I like a lot of the people that they show there, and I like the guys that run it, and I like that they have kind of a cooperative studio space that they were doing out of there for a long time. It's just a cool mixed bag of guys from, like, Sean Barber, whose stuff I really like, to, like, you know, Andres, the kid that works there. It's just, like, all over the place. They support all different kinds of art, and it's not just their own little niche, you know? Like, I feel like they do a lot of good stuff over there.
You're wearing a hat.
I do have a hat. You also have a hat and a beard.
Yes.
It's official hat and beard radio show where we will discuss beards and hats.
Anyone in the audience have a question? This is sort of unprepared. Andrew from Adobe Books, do you have a question for this guy, Jeremy?
No. I'm speechless.
Little kid. Well, depends on whether or not you include Lego sculpture and or crayon masterpieces. I mean, it's not the sort of thing I was really saving and documenting and archiving back then, but yeah. I mean, I wasn't ever really good at anything in school. It was the one class where I'd get good grades and the teachers would tell my parents I was really on to something. So I think, you know, from as early on as like kindergarten, first grade, I was like, well, I'm good at this part. Everything else in school was a bit more of a struggle, so I knew like from pretty early on that if I was going to take something from school and go get a job, that was probably going to be it.
Got one. What do you think of this, like, kind of like a shared sensibility of a lot of San Francisco artists where, you know, like, you probably have shown up a lot of artists where it's like the same artists, a lot of some group shows, and everyone's looking at each other's works, and then there ends up being kind of like this repeated imagery. Like, I was talking to Tara Foley, who just had a show here about this, about how, like, everyone will all of a sudden be painting birds. Everyone will be painting. Maybe you could just repeat
the question.
Is it that they're using each other's imagery? Is it that one guy did it first before everyone else? Her question was that she's noticed a lot of repetitious imagery in San Francisco and how it goes through cycles. Like there's the bird period and there was the color chart period and the color wheel period. And they're like, you know, everybody will jump on. Well, there's obviously the skull period and there's definitely these little things that become hot symbols, motifs of the moment, but how's that work? Is it the fault of the first guy that drew the skull that everybody thought was so awesome and everybody made it look like his, or is it that these themes come up because we're all exposed to similar stuff and we hang around each other? Is it that, you know, I don't know, I don't have an answer for that one, but I do notice it, and I agree, and that's why I try not to go to art shows too much. Hate to be the next guy on the bird bandwagon or whatever it may be, but yeah, I don't know, it does happen, and I have some theories, however. They're top secret.
Top secret.
Do you have theories, John?
Theories about birds and people's reputation. I think it's just someone does something that looks really nice and, well, that looks nice. I'd like to do something like that, maybe.
I don't know. Think it's a good guess.
Yeah.
First guy did a really great bird and everybody's like, I got a pretty good bird.
I got a pretty good
bird. Next thing you know, a ton of bird paintings.
What do you have coming up down the line?
Next year, I'm going to take some time off. I'm pretty excited about it, actually. I've been kind of on a rampage for the last couple of years, and I've had one or another art show event thing to do, like once a month or once every 6 weeks. And I figured out a few months ago that I haven't been in San Francisco for longer than 6 weeks in 3 years, which is like come home, make a bunch of stuff, go somewhere else, have an art show, which is good, but I'm feeling kind of beat up, and it's time to take a little break. So next year, I canceled a bunch of stuff until August. Actually, no, I'm sorry, June. I have a show in Rome in June, which is pretty random and cool, and I'm looking forward to that. But I'm not doing anything art show-wise until then. I'm going to do... I got a chance to do an album cover for a rapper that I really admire that I've worked with before, and it's like his... It got backed by a major label, and so I get to do, like, proper album cover and some set design stuff.
What maybe rapper is that?
Aesop Rock.
Oh, okay.
Who was from New York and moved out here a year ago. And I've gotten to work with him on a couple little things, and I might get to do a music video for it, which would be kind of cool, and they're talking about that.
Wow.
Which
is something animations? Cool. Like your characters?
Art directing it, yeah. I kind of want to do something where it's like film footage and drawings mixed together, you know? Like old science film strips from the 50s mixed with animation.
Oh, that sounds nice.
But we'll see. It depends on whether or not they have a budget for it.
What's the show in Rome?
I don't know. I've had I had a couple shows in Italy, in Milan, actually, in the last 5 years. I had two. And somebody that went to one of them just contacted me randomly. And it's one of those, like, store gallery places, but because it's a store gallery, they actually had enough money to send me over there and mail my work back and forth and put me up. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. Rome's one of the coolest places I've ever been. And I don't know. I have a really good friend who's born and raised there, a skateboarder that used to spend his summers here, who I knew from skateboarding. And he grew up in, like, the equivalent of the Tenderloin in Rome, like in the center of the city. And his mother was a musician and his father was a biker. So his cross-section of friends and family in this neighborhood are just amazing. And I went and stayed there last year for a week and was just... it was the coolest view of Rome ever. This guy drives around on a little, like, early 70s Honda motorbike all over Rome, and it's his parents' friends and all the old, crusty old, like, gangster guys in his neighborhood. And imagine being in the Tenderloin, except you're in Rome. So it's, you know, older crackheads, I guess. I don't know.
So actually, I was thinking about the little Jeremy Fish. Did you imagine being who you are now, or, like, did you expect to be, like, in your art career or whatever, like, a little bit more advanced? Or what did you imagine yourself becoming, and have you done?
I don't know. I didn't really have any grand delusions of becoming, like, gallery dude. Like, I think going to the Art Institute, if anything, exposed me to so many trust fund future Andy Warhols that I was just, you know, I just wanted to get out there and get a job, honestly. Like, I took something, I redirected from painting to screen printing because I knew it was something I could actually take and get a practical job, printing posters or whatever, and it worked out, and it was a smart direction. I was really into screen printing at the time anyway, so it made sense. But yeah, I definitely didn't ever think I was going to make a living showing paintings or drawings. Like, it just, I come from a really practical, like, blue-collar Northeast background, and my family was just like, you're going to go to art school? Do something and get a fucking job. Like, don't go there and just paint pictures and get out and dance around and sell coffee for the rest of your life. Like, figure something out. And they were both Albany, New York. My mom's an English teacher, so she was just like, be practical, don't be an idiot, like, don't pay all that money and get that degree, and then you're stuck paying off student loans, selling coffee. So, yeah, I worked right around the corner, actually, while I was in school at Winfield Wallpaper Design, which was on 23rd and Harrison for years. I was the head ink mixer and wallpaper printer for 4 years, or 3 years, and that was toxic and horrible. And yeah, just screen printing was a huge part of my background at that point, and that kind of led me to all this other stuff. So no, like, I didn't ever expect to be making, like, signature artist crap. I didn't really think that I was going to be in a position where anyone would care. But I'm really grateful, and it's cool how it worked out, and I didn't ring any weird doorbells to get here. I just kind of kept plugging away, doing my thing, and I would definitely think that the role that I played in skateboarding with graphics and stuff like that has a lot to do with it. I think that had it not been for going to work for the local skateboard industry and getting those opportunities, my audience wouldn't have developed the way it did, you know? Like, I wasn't necessarily putting out my work right out of college to local folks in the art community. I was putting out my stuff to the, like, 16-year-old kids that ride skateboards, which is kind of who I was and where I came from. And somehow in doing that, that led to, like, weird gallery opportunities and kind of exposed my art to different people. And it's just funny, like, I started out trying to basically, like, entertain an audience that I came from, and somehow that led me to going and doing all this other weird stuff. So it's good to not really set out and think that, like, having art shows was how I was going to make a living. It just sort of wound up going down that road.
Excellent. I think it's 5 o'clock. Is it 5 o'clock?
Close. We got 5 more minutes.
Any other questions from the audience? There's one back here. I'll paraphrase or read it right back.
Yeah, you said you told us why you came to San Francisco. Why did you stay?
You know, I stay because...
Stay in San Francisco, I don't think they...
Oh, yeah, they can hear me. His question was, I came to San Francisco to go to art school and skateboard. Why am I still here? Because I love it. I got stuck. I mean, I did get a really great job right out of school printing posters and skateboards and stuff, which is right up my alley, and that's part of the reason I stayed so long. I worked at that job for like 5 years, and that kind of really... I mean, I wound up living here longer than anywhere I've ever lived. My family moved around a lot when I was a kid. And so I feel some sort of permanence here just because it's like my place where I came on my own and sort of set up. But a lot of it too, in the last 5 years, I've had a lot of chances to travel because of this weird situation, and I haven't seen anywhere I liked any better, and that's the big one. Like, I'll move when I find somewhere I think is anywhere even approaching as cool as this place, be it the atmosphere for art or the type of people that come out to it or the city itself or my friends that skateboard here that don't care about my art and just live here and skateboard and probably will till they're 90. Like, there's something to be said for the things that I'm really interested in are really based here, and there's a great history for them, and I think to be here and be allowed to be a part of it for me is really kind of an honor. So for now, I'll stay, and like I said, if I find anywhere cool, I'll let you know.
Any other questions? Because I'm dry. I can't think of anything. Do you have a question for yourself, Jeremy?
Or a question for John?
I know. I was trying to think of one for John. Oh. Why do you continually put all this energy and time into a website that people basically go on to look at and learn about art shows? Like, why is that an art project for you? That's a huge question.
I like websites. It's just sort of, I don't know, I like putting together things. It's like an online zine. It was just another way to make stuff. I like making things.
Will you do it forever?
Probably. I imagine so. I don't know. Why not?
Good answer.
31.
Yeah.
Don't have that much.
The internet's not going anywhere.
No.
Are you going to reopen a gallery?
That's another good question.
If I had a lot of money. It's very expensive.
Did you say you just got a lot of money?
No, I wish I said if I got a lot of money.
He's not opening the gallery because now he has lots and lots of money.
Oh, yeah. Too much money. I don't know. No, it's very expensive, galleries, as everyone knows, I imagine. Or they should know, don't open an art gallery unless you have a lot of money.
Or a lot of rich friends.
Oh, rich friends, yeah. That helps. That's the money thing.
Heard about that stuff.
It takes a lot of time, too.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
You've been, this is 88.9 FM. Neighborhood Public Radio. My name is Zephyr, and you're listening to Frank Brown. We just had on John Tripp, who runs Fecal Face, and Jeremy Fish, an artist from San Francisco and international.